When looking for a way forward in life or answers to those besetting questions that come before us, we often tend to look outside of ourselves. Whether it be looking for hope or looking for the missing links, whether it be positive or negative, we often look out there somewhere. If we have a church background, we were probably trained to look in certain places. Of course, the Bible, or in books, Christian books that have been written to respected friends and mentors, even the pastor. And we look to worship, even to the extent that some of these experiences are sometimes replace God for me. I look to the thing out there, whatever it is, rather than looking directly to God. And it's easy to become dependent upon the other in order to encounter God. I have to have a certain kind of external thing all come together and for me to know that I am with God. We ask spiritual questions even. What am I supposed to do and what does God want for me and how should I be? How should I live in this place? But we still look outside ourselves for that answer. I think that it's a little bit like looking for your glasses when somebody says, they're on your face. We don't realize or see the value in what we already have. And that the best place to look for those answers is to look within. I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 31. I'm going to read verses 33 and 34. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their people, and they shall be my people. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. I love that it can be written on our hearts, that we can know God, that it is within us. I will put my law, my word, who I am, myself within them. Another way to think about that is in the words of Thomas Kelly. Thomas Kelly was a well-known Quaker that wrote in the 1940s, and he wrote a book called Testament of Devotion, and he says this: deep within us, there is an amazing inner sanctuary of the soul, a holy place, a divine center, a speaking voice to which we may continuously return. Eternity is at our hearts, pressing upon our time-torn lives, warming us with intimations of an astounding destiny, calling us home unto itself. Yielding to these persuasions, gladly committing ourselves in body and soul, utterly and completely to the light within, is the beginning of true life. It is a dynamic center, a creative life that presses to birth within us. It is a light within that illumines the face of God and casts new shadows and new glories upon the face of people. It is a seed stirring to life if we do not choke it. It is the Shekinah of the soul, the presence in the midst. Here is the slumbering Christ, stirring to be awakened, to become the soul we clothe in earthly form and action. And He is within us all. So God is within us all. The answers aren't out there somewhere, that they are within us and that we're invited to look to this light within. Even the looking within is part of the presence within. The desire to know God comes from God. Our mistake in assuming that the answer lies out there somewhere actually leads us away from where that real answer resides. I find that really the only things that are really useful to me are within me, are my story, are my writings, my waitings, my leadings, those things that God reveals to me. Now, sometimes somebody says something, yes, that sparks, but it isn't so much that. It's what God does in me with what is said. It's that inner working, that inner thing that happens that isn't out there. And yet we spend much of our lives looking for it out there rather than being still and finding it within. Don't worry about what you don't know. We're often, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what that is. I don't know the answer to this. There's a long list of things that we feel like we need to know in order to be able to do this God life better. But I have found that more than needing to know all those things, what I know today, right now, this is true for every single one of us. Every single one of us. What I know right now is enough. And that I simply need to lean into what I do know. What comes to me. What rises. Rather than, again, worrying about what is out there somewhere, trusting that God will bring to me that which I need to know. And if I lean into what I do know, then I find that I know enough for the next step. Or I find that I have taken the next step and it is enough. It's okay. And that I can rest in that. So don't worry about what you don't know. Simply lean in to what you do know. 1 Kings 19 tells the story of Elijah looking for God. There was a great wind, but God was not in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And then it says, after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. And when Elijah heard it, he was in the presence of God. I love that there was the sound of sheer silence. That Elijah could hear that quietness, that stillness, that place of listening. In Zechariah, it says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Or in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. The New American Standard Version says, cease striving and know that I am God. For me, that cease striving speaks harder or stronger to me than the be still. The be still, okay, I think I've kind of got it. But I have to quit striving, cease striving, and really trust that God is God. But it isn't just in the alone, still times that we can know the presence of God. Rather, this presence accompanies us everywhere. Brother Lawrence would talk about washing dishes with God, carrying God into our daily lives. And I love that idea that we can do everything with God. Thomas Kelly talks about kind of living on two tracks, the track where you're in the physical world doing what you're about, but then this underneath conversation at which God is present, and there's kind of a running chat happening with God all the time, no matter what we're doing throughout our life. And I find that when I'm centered and still, and that I'm really listening to God, there's a real sense to me that God stays. That God and I just don't show up to have a conversation, like Wendy and I get together and have a little conversation, and then Wendy leaves and I leave, and we all go on about our way. But when I have these times of really listening deep within to God, the God stays, and there's a awareness of that for me. So that rather than leave the quiet, rather than leave this time where I have been present to God and God present to me, and there's this communication, it's as if we go out together, God with me, as if I'm accompanied by the light within, this divine presence, the still small voice that is with me all the time. And I learn to become more and more aware of it, to cherish that presence within. Quakers also called this inner light the seed. And I read that in what Thomas Kelly talked about a bit earlier. A seed where the fullness of God resides within me. And just as we nurture a seed, that we water it and give it attention and feed it, that we can nurture that seed within us. And I'm drawn to this picture by Melanie Widener of the seed and the idea that the fullness of God resides in that seed and yearns to grow within us, that it is present to us. All that we need of God is present to us all the time. And we choose to pay attention, to listen, to allow God, who is within us, to speak clearly to us at all times. Let us listen. Let us wait in silence as we invite God to speak. And if out of the silence you're nudged to share with us, we invite you to do that. But we want to give our full attention to God, who is present within every one of us, as we wait and invite God's voice to be heard.